A couple of words on the first sugi, but I want to really spend most of the time on the sugi of Ketzat Shaman. That's my goal. So we have a Shaka Vitaria over here, an important Shaka Vitaria, but of Ein Mekam Be'Eved Ivri. And Sabrav Hamnuno Lameimar Hani Mili Hecha De Islay Lidi Day. When do we say in Havmina Ein Mekam Be'Eved Ivri? Only if Islay Lidi Day Demigo De Iulam Is Daven Inhu Nami. Lo mizdavni. So if the Eved, the Nidon, has money, then you're certainly not going to go ahead and sell the Edom Zon. Why not? Why not? Could you touch that up? Why does Rav Hanunin say if the Nidon has money, then you're not going to sell? Because the Gemar Din, the Psak Din, the Edus is an Edus Mamon. So why are you going to go ahead? However, Aval Hecha de Lesle Lidi Day. But if the Nidon has no money, afagav de isay lidi too, mizdavne. So what would be the logic of that line of the Gemara? In other words, according to the Rav Hamnuna number one, the Havmi Rav Hamnuna is, there are two alternative piskei din, that, what's the case of a person being sold as an Eved Ivri? You accuse him of stealing. So now that has it. There's two alternative piskei din.
Money or slave?
Either he's chayav mamon if he has it, or if he doesn't have it, then it's a din Torah on Eved Ivri. In which case, says Rav Hamnuna number one, Havamina, Einim Karim be'Eved Ivri means in a case where he has money, so the din Torah is not about Eved Ivri. And therefore, you're not going to sell the Edom Zomim. But lu yitzuyar, that you know he has no money. Therefore, the din Torah is about Eved Ivri. Then ein hachanami, you're going to go ahead and sell the Edom Zomim. That's havamina. Amar le Rava. So Rava says velimri le. But let the Edom Zomim say I ant havalach. If you had money, mi havam is davnit. Ananami lo mizdavninan. So, does that make any sense? What is Rava saying? Rava is saying, well, yeah, good. Right now you're an Eved, you have no money, so I'm causing you to be an Eved Ivri. But if you had money, then what? If you had money, then what? Then you would. You'd. If you had money, you'd be paid. Yeah. You pay.
So us who have money there.
But we have money, so we should. Yeah, but.
It's really saying
but. If the din Torah is about Eved Ivri, you should be sold as Eved Ivri. So what do you see in Rava's argument? What's Rava's challenge? Yes.
Really,
stop chomping.
There's only one din. The only din is money, and then after the fact, since you can't pay money, you sold as an Eved Ivri.
Is this your own thought? Or did you get it from somewhere? Okay, good. So Rav Elchanan says like that. Rav Elchanan basically analogizes this taina of Rava to, he says, it's similar to the case of Kofir. If I were to ask in a regular Kofir case, what is the din Torah on? Is it on whether he's chayv money?
No.
Or is it on whether his animal killed someone? The shaila is on whether his animal killed someone. Now that will have a secondary effect of a chiv kofir. But that's not the din Torah. The din Torah is, did your shor kill someone? Are you chayv misvidei shamayim? Now there's a secondary effect. So says Rava, what's the din Torah over here? The din Torah is a chiv mama. You're a ganav. You stole. Now there's a residual effect of that you might get stolen as you might get sold as an Eved Ivri. But if I have, but the din Torah is a din Torah on money, and therefore, if the Eden Zom do what? If they have money, then even though they were b'chai the guy to be sold as an Eved Ivri, they will be able to. They will not. They will be able to pay. They will not have a din of kasha zom.
If they don't have money, they should have to be sold.
Oh, so that's what Rav Hamnuna comes back and says, Elo sa Rav Hamnuna, lemeima, hani mi leheka de isle ole di day ole di tu. Aval heka de lesle lole di day for lole di tu, misdavni. So then comes Rav Hamnuna and says, okay, bamed var mamurim, okay, I'll accept that argument, and what I'm retracting my statement to be is that if, what? If I have no money, the Aiden have no money, and the Nidon has no money, so then Rav Hamnuna is arguing, so now what's our Din Torah about? Our Din Torah is exclusively about Evid Ivri. And therefore that halacha should now apply to the Eid Zomim. And Rabba concludes, no, forget it. We have a special Gzeres HaKosa that says, V'nimkar b'gnei vaso, amrachmana, b'gnei vaso, v'lo bizmamo. Let's just analyze that Gzeres HaKosa for a second. What is that Gzeres HaKosa telling us?
Only somebody who's actually a ganav can be sold as an Eved Ivri.
Correct. A ganav is sold as an Eved Ivri. And therefore, when we, according to this Gemara, apply Kasha Zamam, are we saying that the Eidim Zom are ganavim? No. They're not ganavim. They're not ganavim, and as a result, they will not be sold as Eved Ivri. Okay. What?
Even if we say that enhancements, we never cited the ganav, we say things were rolled.
You'll have to say something like that. Correct. You'll have to say something like that.
You could also say the Havni of the Gemara was that excited the transverse.
Yes, you can. Yes, yes, 100%. 100%. That's definitely permeating in this shock of attire. The identity transference discussion is definitely permeating in this shock of attire. Okay, I want to spend the rest of this year on Ketzat Shaman. Rabosai, how many of you saw the Gemara of Ketzat Shaman? How many of you understood the Gemara of Ketzat Shaman? I should say like that. Okay, in my opinion, and I want to work this through together, in my opinion, the sugi of Ketzat Shaman must be learned together with the next Mishnah. And the two are much more related than meets the eye. So how do we want to play this? I'm going to do this outside. It's you see a long Rashi? Long Rashis are scary. It's a scary Rashi. And I remember for about 20 years of my life, I got to Ketzat Shaman and I freaked out. I needed therapy because of these long Rashis. But then I did something amazing. I just learned the Rashi. Like I saw the Rashi, I said, oh my God, I need therapy. And I just said, no, let's just try the Rashi. And you read the Rashi, and you know what? The bigger they are, the quicker they fall. It's not a hard Rashi. You just walk it through, not a hard Rashi. So basically, let's start it outside. And then I want to get it inside. So we have a Baal, and you have an Isha. And he gives her a ksuva. Now what a ksuva is, let's think in economic terms, is a bundle of rights. And that bundle of rights, he has some of that bundle of rights, and she has some of that bundle of rights. And all we need to do is kind of allocate and create a structure of, okay, what are his bundles of rights, what are her bundle of rights, and that's the, you know, that's what is captured over here. So let's just talk about a ksuba with a face value of 200 zuz. Let's just work with that, okay? Now, give me some of what you would call his bundle of rights. And what are her bundle of rights? Let's start with her bundle of rights. What are her bundle of rights? Yes, Shner Zalman Rusanov. What? I don't know. Not clothing. A bundle of rights. He's got to give her clothing. But I'm talking about in the ksuva. In the ksuva. That, yes.
She gets the yoga.
What?
She gets like the
fields? Okay, so there's a doctrine called the ksuva, but what you're saying is that there's also a piece of karka, a field, that is the security on that. Okay, good. There is a field out there. But again, what are her bundle of rights? Okay, so what she has is you would call it, she's got a future. She's got a future expectation. That's what she has. I'm not 2 out of 3 odds. You got to go to an actuary and do some life expectancy analysis. I wouldn't call it 2 out of 3 odds. But in the event of gerushin or misas habal, she will collect this 200. Okay? That's a future right that she has, correct? Okay, good. That's what she has. What does he have?
If she dies.
Okay, so number one is he has a future right. He has a future right. I'm going to call this a right of Yerusha. Because in the event of her death, he will essentially inherit her stuff, her rights. Okay, he has that. What else does he have? Okay, there is this field. That field is in whose possession? It's by him, which gives him an entitlement to Peros. Kavaldik. He eats Peros. He can go ahead and make the income on that field. Yafet. Anything else that he has? Yeah. She will bring another field into the picture. If she has other fields, she brings those other fields into the picture, Karka. And on that other field, he's going to also eat what? Peros. We call that Nichsei Maluk.
That could be anything, not necessarily a field.
Excuse me?
That doesn't have to be a field.
Doesn't have to be a field. There's one other right, I believe, that he has, or something that a benefit he has. What is that?
He doesn't have to pay the collection costs that she does.
Exactly. In other words, who's Muchzuk in the field?
The husband.
He's Muchzuk in the field. In other words, if he drops dead, what does she have to do? She needs to hire lawyers. She has collection fees. And that's what we call in Lashna Gemara, it's Mechuser Guvaina. And that costs money. That costs money. In other words, it's not just simple, okay, you go get your fields. It costs money to extract the property. And that's something that she has, it's a cost to her. Does he have that cost? He does not have that cost. Why not? Because the field's by him. So if she drops dead, he doesn't have to collect it. It's already by him. So there are assets over here. It's a bundle of rights that she has, a bundle of rights that he has. So far, so good. Whose bundle is greater financially? His bundle is greater. So we generally assume that his value is greater than her value. Okay, yafeh. What I'm going to do right now is fly through the Rashi. I'm going to fly through the Rashi just so you see that I didn't make this up. Ketzad shamin, klomar. My kamachayev lohu lemesa. The yesh liptar misha zayin shteit sladim. Ketzad. Hare yesh leisha leisha zechus. Safek b'ksuva zu. He mitzapeh shim yomos yirashenu tigbe eskula. V'hu mitzapeh shim tamuz b'chayev yirashenu. And okay, so far so good. They each have a bundle of rights. Yafe koach schuto mikoach schuta, and his rights are greater than her rights. Shu ochel aperos akarka miyuchel ksuvas atamid lohi. The old shu mukzak the old maybe he mixer guvina. Vimbo limkor laacher. And if you're going to sell, one of them is going to sell their bundle of rights. Zuz chus sveiko. Vizes chus sveiko. Shelo nimka biyote mishala. His is going to be able to be sold for more than hers. Volishna demasnisen, mashma shishomen schus feika diktani kama adam rota litein shim nis armala valeklamei was also daman yitnu azomim shaylo schus feika bolav sido el schus feiko shayab mechayv no soli froa miyan. So now we're going to ketzat shom. So how do we evaluate? Now what are the aiden coming in and saying? What are these false aiden coming in and saying? Hello. This guy divorced, and he didn't give her a ksuba. So who are the Adam Zomamim coming to be mafsid?
The husband.
They're coming to be mafsid, the husband. So now when the Gemara says, Ketzad Shomen, and one of the possibilities is we're Shomen with her zchus. So what does that mean, we're Shomen with her zchus? It means we evaluate her zchus, and is that how much he's losing?
No.
What's he losing? He's losing the total value of the ksuva minus her schus equals his schus. So one way to value his schus is face value minus her schus equals his schus. V'yesh lomar d'hachi kamar shomen schus feka kama adam rosi tein betovaz anah shela v'oso lo yishamu The kol hashar yishamu shekol hashar ha'im hafsino so be'idusam. Aval osan damim lo'im hafsino so shari gam atak shuzmuim ha'isarotza lemakra yitla baba rab ratzat ha'vatozana hazu. That's one possibility. So ketzat shaman sveka would mean you take her schus and subtract it from the face value.
What is
Toba sana? Toba sana is how much I could get by selling the ksuba right now. Neither Toba sana, no, does the Isha have a right in this ksuba?
Yeah.
She has a right in the ksuba. Let's say the face value of the ksuba is 200. How much could she sell the ksuba right now for? I don't know what, but I know it's a lot less than 100. It's a lot less than 200. So her tovas hanah is to what she would get from the ksuva by selling it now. And he also has a right to sell it now. He has a right for his rights. He could. What are his rights in the ksuva? What are his rights in the ksuva? That stuff. And that's valuable. And he could sell that today and have someone else to eat the peros, etc. O Dilma, Zechus feko ka'amar masnisin dilashayim eva osadam yitno ha'edem lo mecharin lo kulei hai shitnu kol ha'ksuba chutz mitovas ha'anasa. You give his rights without her tovas ha'anah d'shem lo haya nivsa beidus and kol kach shafatok shen zomim shem ha'yamos machar. Maybe he's going to die when?
Tomorrow.
B'tigba ha'kol ki hilon lam tinkar elo v'tovas ha'anah aval tovas ha'anah so yitnu lo shekach ha'im ha'psino so she'im lo uzmu haya parem yad. Etc. And the long Rashi has just fallen with ease. Not a hard Rashi, you just gotta learn it through. Okay, that's Rashi. And then now the Gemara says like this. Back in Rashi, so Rav Chista Arm Vibal. What does Vibal mean? Schus Sveiko Shal Bal Omdin Kam Adam Rotsi Teimba Also Itnu Hazayim. Rav Nasan Beisha Schus Sveiko Omdin Vosa Lo Yishamenu. The Chomer Gadol Hu Etzlan. By doing Schus Sveiko, that's a Chomer Teim Zomim. Why is it a Chomer Teim Zomim? Because it's a lot more money. It's a lot more money he's going to have to pay. And Rav Papa says Be'isha. What does Be'isha mean? It's basically, who's Shita? Who said Be'isha? Rabbi Nassim said Be'isha. But just take out this piece of Nixay Maluk. Because is Nixay Maluk really part of the Ksuva?
No.
That's like an extra. So that's kind of extraneous. Says Rav Papa, take this Cheshbon, but without the Nixay Maluk. Okay? That's the Sukkah. That's the pshat in the sugya, super duper. Now, what is our job? What is our...
What does that mean when it's take out the
Nixay Maluk? Meaning, no, it's out. It's not part of the cheshbon. True.
It exists, but it's not part of the ksuba.
Meaning, let me explain. The Aiden come and say, hey, what do they say? Giresh is ishto, v'lo nasan laksuba. So says Rav Papa, the only claim they're making, the edus, is about things that are directly related to the ksuva.
Ksuva minus her rights.
Everything besides Nixay Maluk. Now, Nixay Maluk is something she's bringing to the marriage. She's saying, I have some land. I'm bringing that in. If we get divorced, that land's mine. But until we're divorced, you can have the peros.
So ksuva minus her rights, including Nixay Maluk, which is her rights.
Excuse me?
Have to
get
out of the picture now.
In other words, in the picture of Nixay Maluk, where there is Nixay Maluk,
the husband would have a lot of rights.
He's got even more rights because he's eating peros. So comes over a pup and says, no, Nixay Maluk is not really part of the ksuva. That's something external to the ksuva. That's not part of this cheshbon.
So now when you say Isha b'ksuvasa, right?
It still means Isha b'ksuvasa means you take this calculation. Yeah. No, Nixay Maluk is irrelevant.
But it's on his side anyway.
It's on his side. Now it's just out.
So we're figuring out the 200 minus her side.
That's it.
And
when we do,
it's
not clear where that falls into the 200 minus or aside part. Where would it go? I don't know if everyone else knows what I'm talking about.
1 second. Shamin Karab Nasan Viksuvas. Velo Yishamalo Ela Ha'edim Viksuvala Adam Halalu. Is by their edus, are they causing him to lose Nixay Maluk?
Yeah.
No.
Are they causing him to lose Nixay?
They're always first and always
the
state.
No, but the Nixay Maluk, the Peros. Yeah, the Peros, they're causing him to lose the Peros. By saying that you're divorced today, when they're not, we're affecting the Ksuva and the Nixay Maluk. So comes along Rav Papa, let's see inside. So Amar Rav Papa, Be'isha. Shamin Krabi Nasan, Ubik Suvasa, which means Lo Yishamalo Ella, only Ha'oidef Bik Suvasa Al Hadam Halalu, Avalo Nuximaluk Shala, Va'afa Pisha Ab Nuximalukla, Hayumav Sidin Oso, Be'edusa Milecho Peres Bechaya, Umiliores Osa Bemosa, Ein Mishalmin, Dicholim Loma, Onaloe Adno, Elak Suvasa, Loya Danishaila Nuximaluk. They could say that Nixay Maluk is not part of this. That was never our intention. That's not where we were coming to attack. And therefore, take that out of the picture. Okay. Rabosai Gavaldik. That's the sugya. Simple. And the only problem is, I teach Ian. And we just learned the Bekiyas. Nice Bekiyas. Gavaldik. But I teach Ian. So what I want to spend a couple of minutes trying to analyze is what's the Hezber HaMachlekes? What's the Hezber HaMachlekes? Rav Papa says, focus on the Ksuva, that's their aids on the Ksuva, don't worry about next to the And that's not my concern. I'm not concerned about Rav Papa. I'm concerned about Ketzad Shom. When we make this valuation, are we valuing Bebal or are we valuing Be'isha? And what makes more sense? And it's clear that one of them makes more sense. Bebal. Bebal. Who are the Edim testifying, quote unquote, against? The Baal. They're saying you divorced her. You have to pay a ksuva. We're attacking the Baal. So how much did you cause him to lose? Do a shuma. Do a valuation. Bebal. How much did you cause him to lose? We're about to make him pay. We're about to make him do what? Go into his wallet and spend cash money. So how are you going to do the Shuma? How much is he about to lose? That's what I would have said. Comes along Rabbi Nosson. And Rabbi Nosson says, no, go like this. You see what I'm doing? Go like this. Go like this. He says, go ahead and do a shuma. Do a shuma of the Isha. Identify what's the sum total of the ksuva. Subtract the Isha's amount. And that's what the Baal gets. Now you might say Balabatish. Well, which way is going to get the Baal more money? Which way is going to get the Baal more money? Be'isha. So since that's going to get the Baal more money, so we'll go Be'isha because we want to make sure the Baal gets fully taken care of. Because he's the victim over here. But that's not that's not Lumdish. And if you look at the Ritva, on this Sugya, the Ritva has the following. It's on page Choftes in your Ritva, second column. Second column, halfway down. And he writes something. I get the first part of what he writes. I'm not sure I get the last part of what he writes. He says, V'tama diplugtayu bazu. What's the Hezba Machlaikis? What are they arguing about? De Rav Chista Savar. Kevan de le ba'al heim chayavim l'shalem, since they have to pay to the ba'al, b'didei amdina. So the oimed is going to be by the ba'al. Shezeh, I'm in the Ritva, page Chav Tes, second column, halfway into that initial paragraph. V'tamad de puktai b'zud, Rav Kista Sava kevan de le ba'al heim chayavim l'shalem, b'didei amdina. Shezeh levar chosuv mamon shalom, Bishah she'idu alav, meaning to say, could the Baal sell his rights right now in this bundle of thing called a ksuva? Could he sell his rights?
Yeah.
Yes. How much could he sell them for? Let's say he could sell them for 75 sus. So that's how he could sell them for. So now by testifying that, how much am I losing? I'm losing 75 zuz. Straightforward, clean, simple. That's Rav Chista. I get it. What does Rav Nelson say? I'm going to read the words of the Ritva, and you'll tell me if you can explain this to me. Rabbi Nelson Bar Hoshi Shaya Sava, Tekevan Shayu Mechayven Oso, Lifroak Suva, Shelo haya chayev lifroa ata anon bekol haksuva misha'arinon ella shanu menakin ma shabal atzmo haya no saying lisalik me'olav oso hashibud ksuva shenistalik mimenu be'edusam kishaporea alpia. Yeah. What the heck is going on over here? So let's do it slow. I'm just learning a ritual. But it happens to be a thick, in a good way, juicy ritual. Rabosai? What does the Baal owe the Isha? What is on the Baal's balance sheet right now with respect to his obligations
right
to his wife?
So
right
now.
So I think what's going on over here, and you can thank me when you get to college, is halachic accounting, not 101, like 601. But halachic accounting 601. It's like upper level halachic accounting. What is on the Baal's balance sheets?
Zero.
So, does he have an asset on his balance sheet? Does he have a liability on his balance sheet? What's there? So, according to Rabbi Nassim, you know what he has on his balance sheet? Essentially, what do I owe the Isha? I owe Isha nothing. I don't owe the Isha anything. After all, if she says, can I have my ksuba now? What am I going to tell her?
No.
Bye-bye. I mean, not bye-bye like Gerushin bye-bye, but I don't owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. I owe you zero. So now the Aiden come in and testify what? That he has to pay the ksuba. So how much are they causing him to pay?
Full thing.
Full thing. He owed zero, and now they're causing him to pay the full thing. 1 second. Seconds. So how much should the Baal have to pay? I'm sorry, should the Ein Zom have to pay? Everything. Wait a second. But the Baal... Not everything. Why not everything? Because if he's paying off the ksuva now, he's not going to have to pay off the ksuva when?
Later.
In 10 years from now. So there's a shibud. There's a lien that he has when? For later. Right now, he's got a shibud. That's what's on his balance sheet. A lien is on his balance sheet. But how much does he owe right now? Zero. But now they're mechayvim to pay the ksuba, 200. So now they went from zero to 200. But he's also getting something from that. What's he getting from that? A release of the future lien. So what do? You take the difference. The face value 200, and then you subtract the future lien. You know what another name for the future lien is? It's her rights. That's her rights. So essentially, I think the lumdus of Rabbi Nathan and Rabbi Chisda is what does a debt look like? Rabosai, watch this. And now, for those of you who are in Bikias, the next sugya. What does the next sugya say? What's the next sugya? Guys, 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. I testify that a loan that is due in 10 years from now is really due when?
In 30 days.
In 30 days. And if you remember the Gemara, there's a back and forth in the Gemara. What about Shemitah? Does Shemitah sever a 10-year loan? Does it or doesn't it?
Yes.
Two Lashonos in the Gemara. There's a Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra. Why would you say Shemitah severs a 10-year loan? What? The loan is only due in 10 years. What is on my books? Do I owe money today?
No.
Tomorrow?
No.
In year 7?
Nope.
No. So is there anything to be canceled?
Nope.
It's not to be canceled. Because I didn't owe money. When did I owe the money? Only on the due date. Whose sheet is that? Whose sheet in our sugi is that? No. That's Rav Nas. He doesn't owe anything right now. So when the Aiden come in and testify, how much they're causing me to? A full 200. But yes, we'll leave for the Sheba, which is her rights. Or you could say what? Do I owe money right now?
Yeah.
I owe money right now. It's not payable right now, but in my books, on my balance sheet, is there a liability on the balance sheet?
Yeah.
Yes. So what's Shemitah going to do to it? Shemitah is going to cancel that debt because there is a liability on my balance sheet. So how do we view chiyuvin? I think this is a potential shas issue, a broad issue. When I have a debt to you, whether it's a 10-year debt or it's a ksuva-oriented debt, what's my liability right now? So one possibility is I'm chayv everything right now. It's not payable yet, but I'm it's there. I'm chayv, and that I believe is the shita of Rav Chisda. Okay, the Baal. Yeah, how much they're causing me to lose? They're causing me to lose, but I'm losing because I have something right now. Whereas Rav Nosson says, no, right now there's nothing. So they may chayv me everything, but then you have to subtract the benefit I'm getting by not having to pay that off in 10 years. And that's going to be a direct flow from the sugya of Ketzat Shamin, which is a particular sugya relating to ksuva, a complicated sugya just in terms of working out the pieces. But when you see this ritva, again, I'm now reading the whole ritva one more time, and then I'll let you go. For every nusim baroshi asavai, the kevin shayim echayim nasol lepro ksuva, shohaya chayav lepro ata, they're making pay ksuva, which he did not have to pay yet. So anon b'chol ha'ksuv m'sharin ha'bay. So he should have to pay the entire 200. Eloshanu menachim, we subtract Mashabal Atzmo Haya no same Lisalak me olav also Shibud. How much would he pay to now? He doesn't have to pay it later because he's paying it now. So that has to get subtracted. And that amount gets subtracted, which is essentially taking the sum total, subtracting what is effectively now her rights, which is also how much he would pay, so how much he now does not have to, by having his Shibud released. It's the same kind of subtraction, and Mamela, that's the Shuma of Bidi Isha. So I think what emerges is a core machlaikis. What's your starting point in this Chiv Ksu? Yes, logically Rav Chisda is correct. Bidabal, you're damaging the Baal, Bidabal. But that's assuming that, yeah, there's a there's he has chiyuvim. He has a chiyuv now. You're causing him to pay now. How much you're causing to pay now? That's gonna when he doesn't have to really pay. That's gonna be his the shuma. Or do you go by Rav Nelson and says no? You look at he's really he has to pay everything now, but he's being relieved of a shiwud later. So you take the full amount, subtract that future relief, and that's gonna be the chiyuv to pay. We'll stop here.
Aren't her rights full? Like she's getting.